Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Mr. Eddie Villanueva, alongside my co-host, Chad Riley.
Hi.
You beat me to it.
It's my name. I should beat you to it.
But I like saying
Don't
it, man.
Don't put my name in your mouth.
We're back in the States, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we did post a couple times on our Facebook that we were out of the country, and we did have some shows saved up for you just in case you were wanting to hear
it. You know, we were responsible.
Oh yeah, we did the responsible thing.
We stayed up all night recording show after show after show. I mean, we haven't really worked in 7 months.
That is true. But we are stateside finally. We are back from our big trip in Australia, and we are ready to get back at it. And not only are we ready to get back at it, but we're actually transitioning on to another big trip that's coming up, which we'll be talking about later on. But like I said, we're back and we're glad to be here. We are here alongside with our illustrious fly on the wall, who is going to be joining us today, Mr. Corey Vincent.
Permission to speak.
Permission granted.
Thanks, philosophers.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be joining us as we delve into the discussion of the grandest con of all that is going to be occurring this week, and that is San Diego Comic-Con. Ladies and gentlemen, we are excited to announce, and of course, we've already previously announced, but we're still announcing.
I was going
to
say the cat's out of the bag on this one.
It's been out of the bag, and we are excited. The Filmlosophers are heading to Comic-Con, and we're excited.
SDCC.
Yes, sir. We're going to be excited. We're excited to be going out there. We got a lot of things in store. We're going to be talking about a lot of big things that are going to be coming up, so stay tuned. But the Film Losspers is presented against their better judgment by Mingle Media TV and recorded live at VGB Studios, also home to Video Game Bang and Me, Myself, and Mike. Remember, you can subscribe to the Film Losspers podcast on your favorite platforms if you haven't done so yet, and download previous episodes from iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Stitcher, Player FM, or Audioboom. Social media is a great place to connect with us, so you can like and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/filmlosophers and twitter.com/filmlosophy101, and share your thoughts about recent movie news or our latest review episode. Also, you can catch us on our main page, which is at vgbstudios.com, and you can catch all the episodes all in a nice little pretty array of how we have it set up, and you can check us out there along
with... It's like a flower arrangement. I mean, it's so beautiful.
It is, and that is also the same place where you can catch Video Game Bang and Me, Myself, and Mike. But of course, before we get into the main updates and everything that we want to start talking about, we got to hit our movie news. At the top of the list, we got Van Helsing, the film that made Hugh Jackman probably lower on the totem pole of action films.
It took away some of his fame.
It did. It's getting a reboot, and it's going to be inspired by a post-apocalyptic anti-hero known by Mad Max. Universal has decided to revamp all of their iconic staples of horror with the second film in the universe, an Alex Kurtzman-directed reboot of The Mummy starring Tom Cruise, due out next year. Other films in the new franchise include A New Frankenstein starring Javier Bardem, The Invisible Man starring Johnny Depp, and now a reboot of the Van Helsing property.
And the first one in the series was Dracula Untold.
True.
A couple of years ago. Three years ago now? How long? It's been a little while.
I want to say it's been 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's taken them a little bit of time to get the rest of this franchise, mega franchise. What do they call it? They have a name for it. Anyway, this mega franchise kind of slotted into place with performers that they trust to carry these other films.
Yeah. Either way, Eric Hessier and John Spites, writers of Prometheus, are the writers tasked with bringing Van Helsing to life, and when HitFix recently spoke with Hessier and his upcoming horror film Lights Out, he cited Mad Max as a major source of inspiration for the new and improved Van Helsing. He stated, "I can only say that early on, our inspiration for his behavior and his mannerisms was all in Mad Max."
Listen as I shake my head back and forth.
He does. Now, for me, as most of you know, I am a horror fan. I love horror. I love classic horror and, you know, modern horror. I love the genre as a whole. But I don't know if going in this direction with an a character such as Van Helsing, who has already been misrepresented through several different mediums. I mean, there is at least two times in film that I believe he's been portrayed incorrectly.
Right. A lot of people might not know that this character actually has a pedigree in the literary world. He was a character in Bram Stoker's Dracula novel, mm-hmm. and a darn good one. Really interesting character. Older guy who, you know, knows all the secrets about vampires, where they came from, their history, how to defeat them. He's kind of the one that leads the charge once all the main characters get on board with the fact that this Dracula character is a bad guy and they need to defeat him. Van Helsing is the older mentor who teaches them how to do it,
mm-hmm.
And guides them along. He's a great character in the story, and yeah, the portrayal of that character on film has been interesting, to say the least.
I want to say if there's ever been a close representation of the character, I would honestly probably have to say it was probably during the early 90s film Monster Squad. I'm not too sure if you're familiar with that. It's a film that was done by a company other than Universal, but they wanted to create the same type of horror troupe that they had with Universal, and they didn't have the rights to the way they looked, so they created it all on their own using characters that they reimagined. But I think you would get a kick out of that. But who knows?
Was that animated?
No, it was live action.
Oh.
Who knows how it goes? And you know, we'll see. I mean, Universal, they have a tendency to revamp a lot of stuff over time, and we'll see how it goes. Next on the list is Batman versus Superman. Now, we're not going to get into the review again. We're not going to get into the Ultimate Edition review. We're not going to get into the ultimate Zack Snyder Edition review. What's great about this, which is the reason why we're bringing it up, is that Batman versus Superman got an honest trailer.
Finally.
Now, as we've spoken before, the gentleman who so graciously did our intro for the show is very well known among Screen Junkies and things like that. And if you're familiar with the YouTube channel, then you know his consecutive episodes that he puts out, known as Honest Trailers. And what they are,
yeah,
is
he's the voice, yes, behind Screen Junkies Honest Trailers. They got a whole team of people that work on those things, writers and directors and people who search the archival footage and do all these amazing things. And then he gets a lot of credit because he's the amazing voice that narrates the entire spot.
Yeah.
We give him credit too because he narrates our intro.
So the team does talk about the positives in the film, like Batman's fight scenes and so forth, but be prepared as it pulls no punches and laying down the heat, talking about everything, including the Martha sequence, writer David S. Goyer saying that Batman fighting Superman is where you go when you've exhausted all possibilities, a brooding Superman, Batman being a murderer, and so much more.
Probably my favorite part of this honest trailer, because it's a longer one. They do definitely delve into most of the things that you could point out as weaknesses or areas of improvement. One of my mm-hmm. favorite things of the trailer is when they try to show you what they've reverse engineered as Lex Luthor's grand plan,
mm-hmm.
and it's just scrolling text of this ridiculous, it's like an outline for a speech or a paper that doesn't make any sense.
All the incredibly
insane things that would have to line up for this to have been his plan the whole time.
All I remember from that whole thing is awkwardly feed a congressman a Jolly Rancher. That's all I remember seeing on
List. The worst product placement ever, I think, is what they called it.
Ah, there you go. We haven't had a chance to see the Ultimate Edition. That is something that we want to get a chance to possibly review after we see. We'll see how the time goes, but
yeah, the theatrical cut was one of our first episodes, mm-hmm. so delve into our archives. They are extensive. They're 20 whole episodes or something like that by now, but we do want to revisit it because first impressions, theatrical cut, we might feel differently when we view the Ultimate Edition.
Yeah. Corey, what is, seeing as how much information has been coming about the new and updated version and how the Ultimate Cut is supposed to give you the grand plan of things, is supposed to unveil all this, does any of that new information about what other people say, does it even sway your opinion about the film at all?
I mean, I'm curious to see it, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, what is it, 30 minutes, 40 minutes extra content?
Something like that, yeah.
Give or take.
And I feel like they would have to add 40 minutes of missing content and then remove another 40 minutes of crappy content in order to have something that I would be like, oh, that's a pretty good movie. I mean, I'm interested to see it. I want to see if Luthor's plot makes any sense, but they're not going to change his acting.
Yeah,
they're not going to change the way Doomsday looked, and they're not going to change a lot of the stuff that I had gripes with 30 additional minutes. The Martha thing is still stupid. You know, Batman, the greatest detective in the world, still
did
uses...
Did we just become friends?
Yeah.
I think we did.
Want to do karate in the garage?
Let's go do karate in the garage.
Where's Ryan? But... I think they just...
I think that was the Christian Bale Batman coming in at
the
end there.
Yeah, it definitely was. Because he's my Batman.
That's
my Batman. Yeah, you know, exactly. There's not going to add Christian Bale in that 40 minutes. There's just a lot that's not going to be there. It's a Band-Aid.
And that's what I was thinking, too. It's one of those things where, with this film particularly, it had so much backlash as to whatever happened in that film and whatever thought process was going through that I don't even think a director's cut could probably remedy the whole situation of the whole film. I mean, like Corey said, that's like putting, not to quote Taylor Swift or anything, but that's like putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound kind of deal.
Good one.
Thank you.
Nice.
It just doesn't seem like that's going to be enough to rectify all the objectionable things that I did.
Well,
not
yeah, you're
care
not
going
to change the overall story, and for a lot of people, the overall story is where so many of the problems lie.
I feel like a director's cut is meant when like people really dig a movie, and it's like, yeah, I want more.
Oh,
I want to know what was on the cutting room floor because that movie was so amazing. Let's see all the extras. Not like, oh, this movie sucked. I can't wait to see the director's cut.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of that parallels that is Alexander, Oliver Stone's Alexander, which they released, I think, two or even three different versions after that went to DVD, trying to prove that they had a better story. It just isn't what you saw in the theater.
Soon it was good.
It's even better when you watch it longer.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, well, like I said, if we get a chance to, we'll do it. If not, you know...
I can't wait to see the director's cut of
this
podcast.
Honest trailer is really good.
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, if this episode, we'll do like a director's cut, and we'll add 20 minutes of content.
There you go. It'll be all additional in-between stuff that we're like, oh, this is Chad picking his nose, and this is Corey when he's over here scratching himself, and which he's doing right now.
Yeah, I was, actually.
But, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how it fits into our time schedule and everything, and if who knows, I mean, if you guys want us to review it, let us know in the comments on our Facebook page or Twitter, and you know, maybe we might just take the time and do it. But speaking about DC, Suicide Squad, on the opposite spectrum of Batman versus Superman,
well, has yet to be fully seen.
I don't know, so far with what we've seen with trailers and whatnot, it does seem to be so far. I mean, I'd rather watch all the trailers of Suicide Squad.
I mean, they did go back and do all those reshoots, so
yeah, well, hey, they learned from their lessons, right? Suicide Squad's new extended promo sets its sights on Will Smith's Deadshot. Monday, a new extended Suicide Squad trailer introduced us to Viola Davis's Amanda Waller, the ferocious mastermind behind the villains-turned-heroes task force at the heart of Suicide Squad. Yesterday, we got yet another promo, but this time, the aim is squarely on Will Smith's Deadshot, a.k.a. Floyd Lawton, tough guy, smart mouth, and deadly assassin, or, as the video totes, a human arsenal who is lethal at 4,000 meters. The film also stars Joel Kinnaman, Jai Courtney, Karen Fukuhara, Jay Hernandez, Adewale Kinsaviske, and Adam Beach. Suicide Squad opens in theaters on August 5th and is due for a huge appearance at Comic-Con this week. There was another promo that came out, obviously, for Katana, and yeah, it was good and all, but one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of highlight this particular part, this particular character's focus, we haven't really seen Will Smith do Will Smith, classic Will Smith, like old school Will Smith, like Independence Day Will Smith or Men in Black Will Smith. We haven't seen him do any role like that in a long while.
Yeah, he's been pretty serious.
Yeah, from Concussion to After Earth, that Bootsy movie.
You said it.
To...
How dare you?
I mean...
It all started with
get
Ali.
Get thee away from here.
Which one?
It all started with Ali.
It did. After that, I mean, what did he do? 7 pounds, and he did, like, a bunch of other just...
I
super
Am Legend.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that.
So it seemed like he hasn't done a film where it looks like he's having fun. It looks like in every role that he's doing, he's sniffing onions and doing whatever he can to get the waterworks going, because that's all I see. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a movie with him in the last decade where he's not crying in some sort.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you just want an Oscar. You want the Oscar.
Yeah, I want like a punch to an alien's face and like welcome to Earth kind of deal. I want to see that kind of Will Smith, and that's what I saw with this promo. I saw him actually step forward and come into the light as far as like the Will Smith I hadn't seen since 1996.
The one we haven't seen since when's Philadelphia,
born and raised.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward
to.
Have you seen the evolution of the Suicide Squad logo through the trailers?
I haven't.
There's this amazing picture of like the Suicide Squad.
Suicide.
Yeah, I'll flip my screen here so you could see it. And it's 100% accurate. Like it started off as like black and gray Suicide Squad, and then trailer number 2 it came out, and then there was like some tie-dye going on in the logo. Trailer number 3, there's tie-dye in the logo and the background's a rainbow. And it just keeps evolving and evolving, like they, and as we could tell by the reshoots, like at first it was serious, like there was insiders when that first trailer came out that everyone liked that was like you just heard all the jokes in the film, like so then they started doing reshoots because you can you imagine the outrage if we would have actually went to see it and we're like, oh, all the funny parts that we liked
were in the trailer.
Mm.
So it's been an evolution. I think it is good that DC is moving forward, like actually listening to people. Because they can't afford too many more Batman v Supermans.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest.
I think it's going to be exceptionally interesting if this movie performs super well and their entire movie franchise is based on a team of bad guys.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, already right now where they stand, they are far beneath any other iteration of Batman, of Superman, so far on the playing field. And this might just rocket them into some kind of running of the race, so to speak, for an actual franchise to create. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it all depends, I think, on this movie. It depends on how well they've balanced the characters and their personalities, because there are a ton of characters in this movie, including Batman.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they've accomplished what everybody hopes they've accomplished with it.
Is it too much, you think? Like, I felt one of the mistakes in Batman v Superman was that there was just too many characters.
Way too much going on in that movie.
I don't think they've proven that they can handle more than 3 characters in a movie.
Right.
I think the big thing with this one is that they have a lot of different parts of a team, but not everybody is as strong of a lead character as somebody who's going to stand out like Will Smith. Someone's going to stand out like Margot Robbie, Viola Davis. If you have like at least that small troop of leading people, and then everyone else just kind of adds to the flame of the film itself, I think it'll have a possibility of succeeding.
It's interesting to me. I think of the Expendables franchise, mm-hmm. where you do have some more prominent stars than the other ones, and then you've got some people who are stars in their own right, but bit players in the ensemble of any of those films. I think that's the way that this one's. It seems that this is designed to work very similarly, and possibly the characters themselves are actually expendable, and that's why there are so many of them, because if we off one of the less popular ones, nobody knew who they were in the first place, so at least we've got, you know, that whole realism aspect of, like, can they actually be defeated? Can they actually go away? Yeah. You have enough characters, you could actually do that in this movie.
And apples to oranges, I know they're not the same, but if you compare this Suicide Squad team as compared to, like, say, the Avengers, you have solid leads similar to the Avengers. You have people like Robert Downey Jr., you have Chris Evans, you have Mark Ruffalo at times, but you have solid leads, and then you have other people who are just as prominent but are only there to kind of add that support of humor. They'll maybe shine maybe once or twice throughout the film. Unfortunately, people like Hawkeye, people like Black Widow, things like people like them.
Don't you dog on Black Widow. She's the main character in that franchise.
I'm just saying we have yet to see them really step out and give enough foundation for them to actually have their own film quite yet to the studios. I mean, sure. To the audience.
Well, and oftentimes, I mean, with these things, you've got, say, Avengers, take the Vision, right? Mm-hmm. He's unlikely to ever be one of the tentpole support characters because it takes a lot of CGI to pull it off. It takes a lot of even practical effects and the makeup of him sitting in the chair, all that kind of stuff. And you've got similar characters in Suicide Squad. You know, Killer Croc, that's a ton of makeup plus CGI. So you're not likely to invest a whole lot in terms of screen time for that character. He's going to be there to say a funny thing or do something ridiculous, and then you won't see him very much after that, just because he's expensive to pull off.
Well, as I said, we'll probably find out more as we talk about our next segment. We are talking about, ladies and gentlemen, San Diego Comic-Con 2016. I know this is a little bit of a kind of steering away from what we normally do here on the show, but you know what? That is this week. That is actually happening in the next 24 hours as we head out to San Diego to experience all the awesome things that it has to offer. And we wanted to have a little conversation about this. We wanted to talk about, because we know, unfortunately, not everybody can make it. Not everybody has the funds or the means to be able to fly, drive, walk, hitchhike, however you would get there.
Right, and we're fortunate enough to be based out of Sacramento, which is several hours away from San Diego, but it's not a whole country away.
Yeah, and so we decided, you know what, let's mention about a couple things. Let's talk about a couple things that really are conversation points, actually, whenever we talk about it to other people. These are some of the things that always come up. These are some of the things that always, you know, are mentioned and talked about. And so we're like, you know what, let's kind of lay the groundwork here and, you know, iron out all the wrinkles and stuff like that, and just really have a real good discussion about this. And that's why we brought Mr. Corey Vinson onto the scene, because this man has had an opportunity this past year to attend San Diego Comic-Con. And not only did he attend, but he also went inside, he attended panels, and he had a great time. Chad as well. Chad was able to attend last year. He had more of an experience outside of the event. And
yeah,
so,
I'm a cheapskate. I didn't pay for that pass.
But you still had a great
time,
though.
Also, I didn't get anywhere near the front of the line online.
But you still had a great time.
Fantastic time.
And as for myself, this is actually going to be my first time going out. I'm going to be actually going into the con, experiencing panels. I got plenty of interviews lined up, and I'm looking forward to a really awesome time. But here are some things that we do need to address. At San Diego, one of the biggest things that a lot of people tend to do is they tend to overthink a lot of things. They're always wondering, you know what? There are strong reasons why I should not go to Comic-Con. This is what some people think. You know, when a lot of people come into the mindset of, you know, whether or not I should go or not. For most people, this is the nerd mecca of all cons. This is like the place to be during July.
Yeah, for many people, it's similar to the way perhaps a spiritual person might take a pilgrimage to a holy site. Which is not me saying that Comic-Con is a holy place.
That's what I heard.
Place.
It's but a holy place.
It's definitely
where Nathan Fillion is Jesus.
There you go.
But it's definitely, it's a full experience. And I think, as with, you know, you and I, we talked about how we recently went overseas. We went to Australia for a week, and
we went down under.
Hence the, you know, the little musical bed we just had under our audio. Anyway, when you're preparing to go on a big trip, the first time you do that, it's a big deal. And then the next time you do it, it's a lot easier. It's a lot more obvious how things are going to go, what you need to do to prepare and all that. And I think that, Corey, definitely for you, you've been outside, inside, all around Comic-Con. How are your preparations this year different from last year?
I'm prepared for war. Last time I had no idea what I was in for. And I made a lot of rookie mistakes when it came to my schedule. Because when I go, we go for press as for Nerd Reactor. So we do schedule a lot of appointments. And then, but one of the things you got to do is just schedule plenty of time in between appointments. Because although it's not like a huge distance from A to B, oftentimes, I mean, there is just packed full of people everywhere. And you're walking.
Yeah, it's like an anthill kind of when you look at it from above. Yeah.
And it's outside. Like, these are entire city streets that are just packed
swarmed
with human beings. And
human beings.
Human beings.
Human beings.
It's incredible. I've definitely packed extra battery packs. Like, that's one thing. You know, Pokemon Go is out now, so there goes like most of my battery life. So I bought extra battery packs, waters to carry in the backpacks, comfortable shoes, which I didn't do last time. Like, there's just a lot of little tricks I picked up this time that I'm really looking forward to. We're staying a lot closer to the convention.
That's true. Last year it was like a 40, 45 minute haul.
Every day.
One way.
Yeah. And so this time we're within Uber distance, you know, so there's quite a few things we're changing that I think are going to make a huge difference. And like as to what
Eddie's already preparing over here, he's taking a selfie.
Eddie's just
he's ready
selfies.
For this
what
week.
What are you doing, man? You're hosting a show.
Exactly. I can multitask. I was gonna say multicast, but I can't multicast because we're not in the shop, so it's all good.
Yeah. So, over and above all, I'm super excited now. This is Eddie's first trip.
Yep.
I'm interested to see like what you're doing.
I have actually a good amount of stuff lined up. I did keep an eye on where locations are at for most of my appointments, most of my stuff that I'm doing. So like Thursday, I'm spending a lot of time at the Hilton to do a lot of my my events. And then the next day, it's mainly on Friday, it's mainly stuff indoors inside the con. I think Saturday is the only day that I have to go from the con to an actual roundtable interview. So I learned from a lot of what you had told me, Corey, and what a lot of our colleagues who do this yearly. I mean, they make this trek every year, going out and putting themselves out there. We have an editor, incredible editor named Laura, and Laura's always trying to make sure that we space out our time. And she gave me the pep talk. She went over it.
Oh,
several
Laura
times.
Was fighting for you. It was pretty obnoxious.
It was like, great.
There'd be because the way it works is they send out an email and they'll be like, all right, so who wants to cover Vikings or who wants to cover Walking Dead? And while you guys were down under,
we were down under.
She was like fighting for you. Yeah. Walking Dead. She's like, oh, I know Eddie wants to do it. And I was like, no, Eddie doesn't get a voice because he's petting kangaroos. So he doesn't. You're already enjoying God's green, rolly mountains with a bunch of wonderfully accented people. You do not need to interview the cast of Walking Dead. That's for me. But well, she fought, and you got.
She did, and
awesome.
You know what? I am eternally grateful for her and all her help. But she's one of those ones that constantly is always reminding me and reminding other writers and so forth to make sure not to pack your schedule too much and not to make sure that you're scheduling out things and getting burnt out by the end of the con. But
I would say even that is a very unique role, the role of having a press pass. I think by far the majority of people who go to Comic-Con don't necessarily have to worry about their schedule because they're just standing in lines all the time. But I think that as somebody who hasn't gone as a member of the press and still is not going as a member of the press, even though we've got the podcast, I have just a little bit of love.
Hey.
But, being outside the walls of the con, there is still plenty to do.
Yeah.
The lines are not as long. You have access to all the food you want because it's the Gas Lamp District in San Diego, which is full of amazing restaurants. And the crowd enthusiasm is still very, very high. You've got promotional groups going around promoting TV shows and movies and who knows what. Sharknado last year had a whole thing with Uncle Sam's on stilts with sharks going through them that they did. It was very engaging and interesting. Last year, the Viking show had a bus that they, decorated to look like a longboat with decapitated heads kind of hanging off the sides and everything. You've got
that's cool.
Parents and their kids hopping on board the bus like, yeah, look at these decapitated heads. And but they've got all kinds of, there's huge banners on all the buildings.
Yeah.
And it's San Diego. It's gorgeous weather all the time.
And that brings up one of our main things that we want to talk about. Common misconceptions that people have about Comic-Con, about San Diego. And you mentioned the first one that we talked about. The first misconception that we've noted is that people say, I need to be inside to get the full effect of the con. Right away, I can tell you from what I've heard from both Corey and from both of you, Chad, is that no, you don't. Especially from your last year's experience, you had plenty of fun outside of the con.
Absolutely. There's a lot to do. And the crowd grows as the week goes on. Every day, there are more people than the day before because you're getting closer to the weekend and people do bring their families and whatnot. So it's nice to kind of space out what you do outside the convention hall. The convention hall, I have to say, last year was the first time that I went, and I've been to San Diego before. I've never paid attention to the convention hall. It's a lot smaller than I expected. Given the prominence of the con, I expected this building to just be gargantuan, and really it's not. I mean, it's large and well laid out as far as you can tell from the outside, but it was surprising how much bigger the con is than just the convention center and the auditoriums in there themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con on the inside, the showroom floor is... It's the showroom floor. I mean, they do have the tippy-top vendors that you don't get to see at your Wizard Worlds or your Heroes and Villains cons. Like, Hasbro is there, and like just major companies. Funko has this giant corner that's theirs with massive things. Marvel has their own. So, like, you're getting the big boy, the best of the best companies there, but you're getting the best of the best lines as well. So, and you have to be there right at open, and a lot of times... they count, and then they like, all right, no more in this line. Because they partition. Like, they have a lot of exclusives, and they could just give it all out day one, mm-hmm. but that would suck for the show. So they have it in quarters. So they know when they sell out the first day, they sold out the first day. Mm-hmm. You have to come back the next day and try your luck. It is big. I mean, the convention center is huge, but the showroom floor is kind of small, and then the rest is broken up into the halls. So you have legendary Hall H, and then just a big concourse on the top with more food and drinks and stuff like that. But it's just so packed in there, and the lines are so long. I found myself having little to zero fun in the actual convention center. Like, I had a couple appointments, but when I didn't have appointments, I was outside.
Hmm.
And you can watch LARPers. Like, that was one of the most fun I had was... We were standing atop shooting a video, and we looked
down. In case anybody doesn't know what a LARPer is, it's a live-action role player.
Yeah, sorry. I assume everyone's a geek, you know, but you guys cater to cool people, so sorry. I was talking to video game bang audience.
It's okay. It's you guys are... We forgive you.
We're over here with our hors d'oeuvres.
Classy.
So, can you pass the caviar?
Seltzer water.
LARPers, they are the nerds that nerds look at, and they're like, those are nerds.
Those are nerds.
Right.
Those... They're the guys who go to the park dressed as characters from Lord of the Rings, and they're throwing potions at each other and going,
They're essentially the cosplayers who took it too far.
They're the cosplayers who took it too far.
Yeah, they got the replica weapons with actual heft to them and could actually do damage.
And if you are one of these LARPers, we're not talking down. You have a crazy more imagination than I could ever dream of having.
Kudos to you, but I'm going to leave it in your hands.
It looked like the scene from Game of Thrones when the mountain fights the Viper.
Yeah.
That, it looked like that. There was like a circular cement area, and there was two lines on each side of the circle where two men would enter, and they would
only
fight.
Only one would leave.
And it was like...
The crowd was chanting, Kumate, Kumate.
So they would go off the honor policy. So if they felt they got hit with a kill shot, they'd have to go down to a knee and like bow to the other guy and go back, and then the next guy would come on. And so you're watching this, and we start taking bets. We're like, this. We're like, Homeboy's on a streak, and he's got two swords and not even a shield.
That guy knows parkour.
Yeah. And then the mountain comes up. This big old guy, you know, maybe a little heavier than the mountain and a little shorter. But then he throws down too.
So it's the boulder. It's the boulder.
Yeah, the boulder shows up.
The foothill.
There you go.
It's spectacular. Every nerddom is represented. If you like Game of Thrones, if you like video games, if you like Doctor Who, if you like Star Wars,
comics,
anything.
There were a lot of Spider-Gwens and Deadpools last year.
Yeah. Yeah. The cosplayers, card game people. Like, if you think you're a geek, tabletop, everything is represented there in its peak form. Television, movies, comic books, everything you want is at this place.
Steampunk was big.
Steampunk.
A couple times last year. The cool thing, too, is sometimes you go 2 days in a row and you admire somebody's costume and you figure out that they're the same person.
Yeah.
They brought multiple outfits for different days.
Yeah, like Ivy Doom Kitty.
And they're very different. Yeah.
She has a booth this year she grabs like the all-star cosplayers. So she got like Jessica Negri.
Oh, nice.
I think Leanna Vamp and some other big names, and they do like one booth together. So, like, the peak of everything. Even the cosplayers get together and do, like, a summit. It's amazing.
And that brings me to another common misconception a lot of people have is that all the stars, all the celebrities that will be at Comic-Con, they'll be in panels that are going to be too crowded to get into.
That one's kind of true.
Well, I
was going to say, it's...
if you think about it, though, I mean, there have been...
That is where you have to plan ahead.
Well, in the last couple of years, there have been opportunities where Ryan Reynolds has gone out and he donned a cosplay, some type of outfit, and he walked the entire floor. And if people were lucky enough, they recognized him or they stopped him and they got it out of him that it was him, and they took pictures with him. Same thing with Adam Savage from Tested on YouTube, right.
And Alton Brown. They always go around and do a cosplay.
Bryan Cranston, the year before last, had this huge like Fabergé or like paper mache head. Not Fabergé.
Fabergé.
No, it wasn't a big paper mache head. It was like a very well done mask of his face.
Yes, that's
like a Hollywood style mask.
And he walked the con floors and he walked around the con and he was there too. And people who actually were able to stop him and talk to him found out it was him and they took pictures. And so I think if people are in the mindset that they're not going to see anybody, so what's the point in going out and they're not going to find anybody famous, they're not going to see anybody out in the streets, there's a large possibility you might just run into somebody you weren't suspecting to run into and end up taking a great picture with them.
Oh yeah, just keep your eyes open because you also have all the news outlets that mm-hmm. have their celebrity interviews That's on true. Balconies and you can watch them through windows because they're set up in the hotels.
Just
you
don't
know, the
look
Hard
like
Rock Cafe, yeah. The Hilton, and so, and they purposely stage it so that you can see some of what they're doing as a media outlet, which includes interviewing celebrities. So yeah, they sneak them in through the back door, and you don't actually run into them literally on the street necessarily, but you see that they're there. You can sometimes even watch the interview.
I got to see just randomly. You keep your head up when mm-hmm. you're walking around, like because that's how you do see people. You're not going to see Ben Affleck. Right?
No.
It's like getting struck by lightning there, the people who actually saw Cranston or Ryan Reynolds. But, like, realistically, I saw, like, you know, the girl, it's a song with Kanye West, and it's called American Boy. So it goes, take me on a trip, I'd like to go someplace. You ever heard that one?
This is going
to
be part of the director's cut.
Let's cut this out and we'll put it in the director's cut. But, like, I saw that girl who sang that. I did see Nathan Fillion. Like, I passed him on an escalator. Mm-hmm. I saw the redheaded girl from Geek and Sundry. I'll lose all my street cred.
Yep.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I just don't know her name offhand.
Keep your head. The Impractical Jokers.
Impractical Jokers had autograph signings. The Comedy Central folks, some of them were there with signings. You know, and they're all these little staged areas all outside the convention hall. Assassin's Creed had a whole obstacle course last year.
Yep.
You know, culminating in the swan dive that you do, you know, out the tower.
Swan dive.
And onto the mat, you know.
Felicia Day.
What? You forgot that name?
I told you I was going to lose street cred.
You forgot. You just said her name a little bit ago.
I think I said it before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You lose a point.
Sorry, Felicia.
Speaking of other redheads, Conan O'Brien.
That's right.
Huge, huge presence at Comic-Con.
That's true. One of the things also, before we get into Conan O'Brien, is one of the last misconceptions that a lot of people have is that all the fun ends each day at 6 p.m. Usually most of the cons are, or most of the panels are done by 6. Most of anything's done. So, you know, people think that there's nothing else to do. But in actuality, we found out that there's a ton of after parties. There's a ton of events you can go to that are at nearby pubs, nearby balconies, nearby
karaoke
hotels. Karaoke nights.
They have the Star Wars cruise that happens every year.
There's a Pokemon pub crawl going on free to anybody who wants to show up.
Yeah, I mean, you got a ton of stuff that's going to be going on. You know, all you have to do is just look it up online and find the information. I mean, we went on Eventbrite.com and found a ton of after parties that we just began signing up for. I mean, some of them were multiples on the same day. But, you know, that's one of the things that, hey, if you're really wanting to do stuff, you know, you'll be able to find it if you look. And there's plenty of resources out there as well. A couple things to expect from this year. Obviously, you can expect that, like Corey was saying, you're going to have the cosplayers that are going to be in droves just totally taking over the street.
Be respectful, ladies and gentlemen. When you see the cosplayers, cosplay is not consent, all that, yada, yada. Be polite. Ask to take the pictures. Don't be a weirdo and just snap them. They're very nice people. They dress up because they want to have conversation. So don't feel bad if stopping them and asking them for a picture. Don't be a creepo and just take pictures like from.
And I would say, I mean, if you've not been there before, it's a good 35 to 40% of the people that you see walking around are going to be dressed up.
Yeah.
And I think this year is going to be much more unique, as I think the the crowds are going to be split in half, as far as half being cosplayers and the other half being Pokemon Go players.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, I don't know if you've known this, but there's a friend of mine named Tony Kim. He has a website called crazyforcomiccon.com, and he actually put out the Pokemon map that is already set out for the Gaslam district.
Oh.
Where all the nests are going to be, where all the Pokestops are at. And he's excited because he's a big Pokemon player. Not that he's Asian or anything that has to do with it, but I'm just saying.
Wow, you went there.
He just...
I wasn't even thinking that. I don't see the world that way, sir.
He's a great guy, and he's super cool. Okay. And so, but he posted the map. I guess someone had posted it from Niantic.
Which is interesting, because it's that is kind of a crowd control issue, mm-hmm. because it's already a bit hectic. And while the lines to go into the convention hall and do events in there, go to the panels in the halls, those are really, really long. The lines outside are not as long, but they are there. So that could play havoc with some of their crowd control.
They have a panel efforts. There. And it yeah. was supposed to be like one of the smaller halls, but it has been upgraded mm-hmm. to Hall H.
Yeah.
So Pokemon Go getting a major upgrade just because it's captured the world right now.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, like, you know, Chad said, if you play, just like with the little disclaimer that Corey said, if you play Pokemon Go, keep your eyes like focused on where you're walking and stuff like that. Don't walk anybody, because
there are moving vehicles, trains, and people.
And we're not going to get into all the whole
rickshaws,
people
on stilts.
Yeah, all the demonstrators. There's a lot going on.
Also, one other thing to expect from this year's Comic-Con is two incredible movie premieres.
Hey, I knew we were going to bring it back around to movies.
Exactly. I mean, this is, I think, one of the first times where you're going to have two, and if I heard correctly, you said that they had to create a secondary.
I'm pretty sure they just extended the Killing Joke to do two showings and not just one, and I don't know if that's the same day or mm-hmm. two consecutive days.
Well, see, here's the thing. Not only are they doing the premiere for Star Trek Beyond and the premiere for The Killing Joke, they're also going to be doing several screenings of a ton of other films, including Kevin Smith's Yoga Hosers. That's going to be going on Friday as well, Friday morning, along with a panel. There's going to be another screening of the premiere episode of Con Man for the next season that they're doing. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that's going on all over the place. And like you said, it's gotten so big that they're doing secondary screenings and so forth for the films. I think that's going to be one of the biggest highlights from this year.
It's been really interesting to see the evolution of Comic-Con over the past decade, let's say, because you do. It started out a bunch of comic book nerds, geeks, lovers, and then you've got your game players, your cosplayers, whatever, and then Hollywood got involved, and it blew up. I mean, massive.
Yeah. Like, I go, and I hype it up to everybody, and my family knows I go there, but they don't care. But then on one last year, like on Friday, I get a text from my aunt. Wait a minute. Are you at that thing that Ben Affleck's at?
Yes. Right? Suddenly it's on the radar.
Yes, auntie. I'm at the thing that Ben Affleck. You want to know there's a lot of people here, aunt. You know, it's not just Ben Affleck.
Like, he's sitting on the other side of the lunch table right now. Yeah. We're all just... You know, it's going to be great, especially with these types of movie premieres, and of course with the passing of Anton Yelchin. There's going to be probably something special that's going to happen on that Wednesday premiere, so we'll see about that. One other thing that we actually mentioned earlier that is also going to be something to expect, because it's the second time they're going to be doing it, it just started last year, is the crazed Conan O'Brien fans and all the people that are going to be going to his shows. And
sold out. I couldn't get in.
Seriously?
Yep.
Well, they're going to be pretty much attending the shows, and along with attending the shows, like Corey said recently, or I don't know if you've said it on the show. You might have said it one time when we've mentioned the Conan O'Brien show, how they're giving away exclusive pop vinyls.
They did that last year, yeah.
So not only are you going to be running into the crazed Conan O'Brien fans, but you're also going to be running into those who are hawking all those exclusive pop vinyls right there on the street.
Exclusive Magic the Gathering cards. So many exclusives that are going to get hawked. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, that's the sad part. I don't like that. If you're a scalper, you suck.
You suck. The most famous words from Corey Vincent.
Yep.
Lastly on the list, you know, obviously when you go to some place like Comic-Con, you're going to obviously get fresh news of some of the most anticipated movies and shows. You're going to find out what's going on with certain films, the movement, how it's progressing. You're going to find out the secrets and the behind-the-scenes information about all the greatest films that people have been expecting this year and for years to come. I know that Marvel is probably going to come out and talk about the next phase of whatever Marvel has in store for their series, their film series.
I hope they bring out Captain Marvel.
That would be great. That would be really cool.
At least
cool.
The director. They need to at least announce a director for that.
You got me hyped. I was a little, feeling a little jaded, and now hearing that little promotion, I'm excited for the airplane tomorrow.
So am I. And like I said, we're going to be trying to be Facebooking and tweeting as much as possible from the con. We'll try to do maybe a Facebook Live here and there, but ultimately, we're going to be letting you know that we are going to Comic-Con, and we're going to try actually to do a show out in San Diego. We'll see.
A live recording.
A
recorded live show on location.
So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, the film Lostivers are going to San Diego Comic-Con. Before we go, we're going to leave you with a few movie bites. First thing on the list, Luke Cage has released a teaser poster for the upcoming series. It looks very simplistic, but I think it's actually going to do really well.
They're going to have a big debut at Comic-Con.
Oh, no doubt. The new trailer and poster for The Magnificent Seven has been released as well. We saw that yesterday, or the day before, the other day. I'm actually really digging this new vibe for The Magnificent Seven, although, Chad, you brought up a really good point about the film.
Yeah, I this first teaser is banking on the star power, which is fine. It doesn't get into a lot of the... reach the scope of the story from the original film,
Yeah.
One of the few classic films I have actually seen and did enjoy, and I think it has a very meaningful story that hasn't yet been teased.
Yeah. Last thing on our list is Rob Liefeld. Who would have thought we would have been talking about Rob Liefeld, right? But Rob Liefeld is going to be hiding X-Force sketches all over San Diego Comic-Con. It was relevant because of Comic-Con, but Rob Liefeld came out on social media today and announced to everybody that he's going to be releasing over, I believe, a couple thousand of his sketches.
Yeah, just a little treasure hunt.
Yeah, and he said their prices range from $500 all the way up to $10,000.
Because he says they does.
That's the because he part. Says
they're
they
really
does.
Worth the paper they're drawn on, in my opinion. But.
By the way, just in case for all our fans, Corey Vincent has a interview with Mr. Rob Liefeld.
I do, and I'm looking very much forward to it.
So that's going to be great to hear. Again, thanks for listening to our show today. And if you have any questions, thoughts, comments, suggestions, please hit us up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlosophers or our Twitter page at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Of course, you know Corey Vincent, and if you want to hear more about what he's got to say, you can check out Video Game Bang, the podcast, on our vgbstudios.com website. And we're excited. I'm excited.
There's going to be a lot of content from vgbstudios.com. I know that VGB is planning on doing a lot of like short updates. So we're going to do our nightly like recaps, but then also throughout the day, if we catch interviews, we will be posting them to our feed. So you can subscribe to us on iTunes. All the same places you can find the Film Philosophers, essentially. Just like after you're done searching Film Philosophers, you search Video Game, space, bang, we pop up, sub to those. I'm sure we're going to work with the Film Philosophers lot because we're going to be cohabitating and working. We have a bunch of meetings together.
That we do.
And then it was me, Mike, Self, and I.
Me, Mike, Self, and I.
Not me, myself, and Mike. That makes no sense, Eddie. You failed.
I failed, but you know what was great? I didn't write it. Oh, yeah. I leave that in Chad's hands. Me, Mike, Self, and I.
Yeah, it's Mike Betancourt. He's a Sacramento stand-up. We actually got to catch a show.
That we did last Friday.
Yeah.
It was really good.
He's a funny dude. He killed.
But so, as we close out today's show, you know what? We want to let you know that, of course, we will be letting you know of all the great things that come up as we hear them at Comic-Con. And, of course, if you have any thoughts, if you have anything that you hear that we haven't heard yet as far as what's going on there, let us know. Drop us a comment here or there, and, hey, we'll try to check it out. But, of course, I'm Eddie, and from here at the Film Philosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Chad.
Class dismissed.